Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Provencik. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and Berlin. The title of my talk is Genotoxicity of GM Food. Introduction. We know solar UV radiation is genotoxic. As DNA is damaged, it can lead to skin cancer. Since solar UV does not penetrate the skin, we think DNA damage of internal organs by UV cannot occur. However, if NPs and GM food produce UV, the DNA damage may lead to internal cancer. Here, NPs is nanoparticle. And the question or the theme of this presentation is, do nanoparticles in GM foods cause UV genotoxicity? This is the basic theme of this presentation. Now, GM food and health. Donald Huber, the common critic of GM foods, claims a pathogen is produced that harms human health. For example, residents living close to sprayed GM soybean fields in Argentina develop cancers and birth defects. To the contrary, Monsanto argues science is still looking for, but not found, Huber's pathogen to establish the causal link between GM food and human health problems. Now, this is a reference on the pros and cons of this argument. You can find this on the web. I'll have this presentation on the web, which I'll identify later for you. Now, nanoparticles and nanotechnology. Experiments over 2 decades show adding nanoparticles to biological fluid damages the DNA. Sprinkle in nanoparticles, do a Kalman assay, and you find DNA damage. And because of that and other testing, the protection of the consumer health by labeling of products was suggested. If they had nanoparticles, they should label their product as nanoparticle. And here you can see that argument. Nanotechnology needs labeling. You can see the various health problems here. Here's Parkinson's, colon cancer, blood clots, heart disease, bronchitis. Now, the diversity of these human health problems suggests genes are scrambled. There's no single Huber pathogen, if you wish. And this suggests that nanoparticles are genotoxic. Causal link. Nanoparticles are ubiquitous, and they enter the body in the food we eat. Pathway of DNA damage by nanoparticles is known to mimic that by conventional UV sources. Therefore, the causal link between UV genotoxicity and internal organs is proposed to be the DNA damage from nanoparticles. But the DNA damage from nanoparticles is not new. In 2003, nanoparticles were shown to induce oxidative stress, but this was correlated with large S over V surface to volume ratio. In 2008, DNA damage was linked to cancer by ROS. And here ROS stands for reactive oxygen species. For example, hydroxyl radical. A decade ago, PDT, this is photodynamic therapy, was thought to kill cancer tumors by heating nanoparticles to high temperature without DNA damage, only a temperature increase. But this is fake news. There's always collateral damage, and when you kill a tumor, you're also going to induce DNA damage. However, this issue was swept under the rug because of the emphasis on nanoparticles. Now, in 2016, PDT with silver nanoparticles was shown to cause significant DNA damage in lung cancer cells. And really, this is really a vindication of the argument that I presented over here. The collateral damage is there. You don't get something for nothing in this world. And yet, science has progressed with nanoparticles and PDT somewhat falsely. Now, nanoparticles and EUV. Here, EUV stands for extreme ultraviolet. And the position taken here in this presentation is that nanoparticles create EUV radiation. The EUV produces the ROS, and cancer doesn't need ROS. It can produce the cancer without the ROS. In effect, there's no need for the ROS. The nanoparticle is directly excited by EUV. And the energy we're talking about here is greater than 5 EV to create hydroxyl radicals, and EUV is less than 50 EV. So in this range from 5 to 50 EV, this is the type of radiation being produced in nanoparticles. Now, the nanoparticles have lower quantum states. For example, UV molecules in up-conversion nanoparticles, for example, and these are in the UV, of course, and plasmon resonances, these are in the VIS, they will both be excited by EUV fluorescence. The EUV is created before these lower quantum states are excited. So by fluorescence, you excite the lower state. The PD, therefore, kills cancer tumors by EUV radiation, not by high temperatures, as thought over 10 years ago. Now, here's a comparison of the quantum mechanical Planck law. This is the Planck energy of the atom, of any atom, in electron volts. This is the electromagnetic confinement wavelength, lambda, in micron, on the abscissa. Classical physics is described by this horizontal line that goes all the way across, and no matter what the electromagnetic confinement is, the atom is assumed to have KT energy, as you can see here. Now, quantum mechanics, the Planck law, is given by this relationship. You all know this. And if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get the shell curve. And you can see down to around 100 microns or so, you can argue that classical physics and quantum mechanics give about the same KT energy to the atom. But below that, you can see the quantum mechanical KT energy vanishes. Nanoparticles are way over here. Okay. So what this means is, for confinements less than 100 nanometers, quantum mechanics requires atoms and nanoparticles to have vanishing heat capacity. So you have to ask the question, what is it about a nanoparticle that allows it to have this high confinement? There's no surface regulation. So what would be proposed is that there's a high surface to volume ratio. I had already mentioned this before to you. And this will confine the atoms over nanoparticle dimensions. The nanoparticles are nanoscale, and therefore the electromagnetic confinement is also nanoscale. The process. In nanoparticles, I'm going to present what I call simple QED, and this converts heat Q into EM radiation because quantum mechanics, again, precludes conservation by temperature. Now, simple QED is not the complex light and matter interaction advanced by Feynman and others. This theory is very complex, and very few, if any, people understand it anyway. But what I'm going to present to you today, you'll all understand. Now, anytime you add heat to a nanoparticle, and I have here without heat capacity, you're going to produce electromagnetic radiation. no temperature change. Here I show a nanoparticle diameter D, heat Q coming in. It all goes into the surface because of the high surface to volume ratio. No temperature change by quantum mechanics. And to conserve that energy, what is being proposed is standing wave, electromagnetic waves are produced, having a half wavelength, lambda over 2, equal to D. Now this confinement is really the boundary conditions on this wave. And after the wave is formed, there's no longer any electromagnetic confinement, and the energy comes off with lambda over 2 equal to D. Equations are simple. F is the frequency of the radiation, velocity of light C divided by N, the refractive index of the nanoparticle, divided by lambda. And lambda over 2 is D. E here is H, Planck's constant times the frequency F. And here N is the number of QED radiation photons created. It's simply the heat added divided by the energy per photon. Now, what about the electromagnetic emission? Here's the plot of the QED wavelength emission in nanometers. And this is the nanoparticle diameter in nanometers. And here you see that 254 nanometers, you produce UVC, here's the 254, and that corresponds to a diameter of around 80 nanometers. And this is the relationship that's being plotted. And what this means in the asbestos nanoparticles in the food we eat, you're going to produce DNA damage in the digestive tract. It's that simple. Discussion. The J&J here is Johnson & Johnson lawsuit. This is talcum powder, not food, but it's going to be, I'm going to present the argument. In nanoparticles and in GM food, politics is always politics in science, no matter what time in history you look at it. And today, when I'm going to present the politics between the FDA and Monsanto. The J&J lawsuit. In May 2017 of this year, Johnson & Johnson paid more than $110 million to a woman who says she developed ovarian cancer using its talcum powder. And in 2015, J&J lost 3 cases to talc-based products, but won its first trial in March of this year. And the legal argument of nanoparticle-induced DNA damage was shown through this legal process. There's no scientific proof of this, but the argument was made and was won based on legal basis. Toxicity of talc. FDA tests for genotoxicity do not control the particle size, as nanoparticles less than 100 nanometers are required to produce UV, and I showed you this. And this is the reference I'm taking here. Now, the FDA tests for talc greater than 1 micron, let's say, will produce radiation also. This is not nano, but it's micron. And again, the same equation, and this is what you get. You get around 3.2 microns. Now, this is in the infrared and near infrared, and it does not damage any DNA. What this means is the FDA needs to measure toxicity for nanoparticles less than 100 nanometers. How about nanoparticles in GM food? If you look at Monsanto's Roundup, the labeling does not show there are any nanoparticles present. So, from a Monsanto point of view, one could argue, so what is the problem? There's no nanoparticles in here. Well, let's look at it. In the background, to control weeds, the Roundup is containing the herbicide glyphosate is widely sprayed in the field. The glyphosate does not readily penetrate the leaves of the weeds and is mixed with what is called POEA, and this is called an adjuvant, but it aids the penetration. And POEA is polyoxyethylenamine, and the weeds alone cannot be sprayed, and because they're next contiguous with the plant, and the POEA enters the corn and soybean crops. It's an emulsion of nanoparticle globules that finally reside in the plant crop. So in a way, Monsanto is correct. There's no nanoparticles in the label. They're produced in the process. So these POE globule nanoparticles, again, there's no nanoparticles in the Roundup, but nanoparticles of POE globules form upon mixing in water, and this is a reference for that word, and upon ingestion in the gut, the POE globules adhere to cell surfaces. This is a cartoon of that argument. Here's the heat coming in, it's going into the globules, doesn't do anything to the cell. The POE globule produces the UV. The globule in contact with the cell produces, activates the DNA through the UV. And what this means, in a way, is the POEA is genotoxic. The glyphosate itself may not be toxic at all. Now, the FDA and U.S. politics. In 2010, Obama appointed Taylor, former Monsanto vice president, as the FDA commissioner of foods. This raised quite a few eyebrows. But before leaving office in 2016, Obama signed the Monsanto Protection Act into law. And what this law stated was that even if future research shows GM food causes significant health problems, for example, cancer, the federal courts have no power to stop the use of the cells of the GM food. U.S. politics in this case has clearly been blocked, has blocked science in regard to GM food safety. And this is the world today in the U.S. Politics and science are very close to each other. And the conclusions, therefore, are nanoparticles are common in GM foods. No matter where we go, they're going to be there. A confirmation of nanoparticle genotoxicity requires FDA initiate extensive DNS test programs of Monsanto's Roundup targeting POEA nanoparticle globule. But U.S. politics and the FDA suggest this is not going to happen. Therefore, Trump should repeal the Monsanto Protection Act, leaving Monsanto to legally defend itself in court like Johnson & Johnson. Well, this provides allowing a legal resolution of GM food safety because a scientific one doesn't appear likely at all. That's all I have. This is my email address, and this is my homepage. On my homepage, you'll find this presentation and all the references I cited here. Thank you very much.